Okay, wow. Very impressive. Well, no one said Arkansas. Why is that? Do we not have any representation from the great state of Arkansas? No? That's where I live. What is your stereotype of Arkansas? Anybody have one? A potato? I know. What's that? Bill Clinton, thank you so much. Okay, any other stereotypes? John Deere. Walmart, thank you. Mike Huckabee, yeah. Is that right? Wow, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, we're going to get started here in a minute. We're going to pray before we begin, if that's okay, in order to cleanse ourselves of all the different Arkansas connotations. Let's pray together if we can. Lord, we do want to stop for a moment before we get started in this seminar here, Lord, and we just want to invite you to be with us. We need you. We want you. We bow down before you. And we're making a God ask, Father, a God ask to you. To open our minds, open our hearts, even in this next 60 minutes, Lord, if somehow, some way we've listened to the world or listened to our own voices in our head or listened to people around us or opinions of what they think about support raising, help us to push all the opinions, all the perceptions, all the experiences out of our mind, out of our heart. Help us to listen to you. To your word, to your truth. What is it you want from our life? What is the calling you have placed on each of us? Holy Spirit, we invite you to be our teacher. We thank you for each person that's here. Work in us in this hour, God, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Okay, it's great to be with you. My name is Steve Shadrach, and I work with a ministry called Center for Mission Mobilization. I think that some of you may have gotten a little booklet as you came in. If you want to get on the way out, please do. That is not a mandatory piece to be part of the seminar. It was kind of optional there, but there's some contact information there. And I'm going to be telling you more about me. I wanted to give you a little bit of an overview of our seminar before we get started. We've got 60 minutes together. We're going to do about 10 minutes of an intro and then 20 minutes of an overview of these five steps. I don't know if you like lists. For some reason, I kind of live by lists. And so these five steps are what we go over in an 18-hour, two-day personal support-raising boot camp. And I'm giving it to you in 20 minutes. But really, the purpose is just to prime the pump, because then we're going to try to allot about 20 minutes for question and answer. So will you be thinking about your toughest questions? There are no bad questions, only bad answers, okay? But if it's something real specific, you know, about my Aunt Sally, should I talk to Sally or not? Well, maybe afterwards we can talk about that. But if it's something that is kind of a broader question that might apply to anybody and everybody here, well, let's deal with it during that Q&A time. That'll be a great time. And then we're going to spend the final 10 minutes on some resources, current resources, and then our beloved evaluation, thank you. RG12 is the number of our workshop, not to be confused with RG3, of which he plays tonight, but we will not bring that up against my beloved Dallas Cowboys. Okay, well, let's not go there. Well, if you're writing anything down, please, will you take some notes? That encourages me so much. And that, remember that old Chinese proverb, weak ink is better than a strong memory. Better write that down, you'll forget that proverb, okay? Okay? And so write something down or type something out, because I hope that we can be of help to you. And really, this is the website of the organization I represent, but then this one is a particular ministry. That's kind of the key website I'd like for you to write, supportraisingsolutions.org. Because it's got hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of articles and tools and resources and tips. And then there's these social media guys in our organization. They're pumping out twice a day all kinds of great ideas and tips and principles and passages and things to help you think through what does it mean to get fully funded and stay fully funded and really be healthy in that respect, okay? So that Twitter account is a great one to follow as well. That Facebook page is packed out. So those are some places you can go. The particular minister, I wanted to introduce my family to you. I brought my family with me, and here they are. My wife and I have been married 30 years, and we have 5 kids, 28-year-old Marietta, 27-year-old Spencer, 26-year-old Trey, and 25-year-old Clark. Not sure how that happened, but it did. And then we spent a year in the country of Ukraine. We brought home a little bonus, a little 2-year-old girl from an orphan there, and now she's 18, KK. And so that's our family. And I'm going to be with them tomorrow night. I'm excited. But this is the ministry that we are on staff with. And so some of you have that booklet. I wanted to let you give a little background of who I am. The Center for Mission Mobilization headquarters in Fayetteville, Arkansas. Our objective is to engage, equip, and connect believers worldwide to their most strategic role in completing the Great Commission. Now, one thing we train you to do in these boot camps is to share your ministry vision in 30 seconds. What if I had you turn right now to someone else in the room and you had 30 seconds to powerfully, specifically, very clearly share your ministry vision with someone, and that's all you had, 30 seconds. Could you do that? Well, I'm hoping if God calls you to some ministry and if you are supposed to be raising your support, that your ministry vision will be so crystal clear in your mind and heart that you'd be able to turn to someone, certainly in a support appointment, but anyone. Look them right in the eye and give them your ministry vision. And so that was ours that I just shared. And so these are the different ministries, 9 different mission mobilization ministries focused on different categories of people around the U.S., around the world. And so if you're interested in knowing more about this organization or any one of these particular ministries, Every Ethne actually has a booth here, please talk to me afterwards. We'd be honored to chat with you about any kind of a role you think you might want to play in this world Christian movement. Now, one of these is called Support Raising Solutions. And so most of these are all about raising up laborers. How do we raise up laborers? Isn't that the greatest need in the world? Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, wasn't that it, where he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so if the greatest need is laborers, what is the greatest obstacle of getting those laborers, especially out there to the greatest areas of need? You know what my experience has been over the last 26 years? I've been on support now for 26 years. My family and I have. It's been the greatest experience of our life. But the greatest obstacle, to meeting that need of raising up laborers is funding. Where do we get the money? Show me the money. And so that's kind of one of the things I've dedicated my life to, is how do we raise up laborers? But then how do we go after and attack that greatest obstacle of keeping those laborers? You say, well, Steve, that's really not an issue with me. Well, it really is with all of us. The estimate is that 20,000 Americans, now, I'm sure it's even greater when you go beyond our borders, but in this country, 20,000 Americans per month make inquiry to all these great hundreds of mission and ministry agencies, all these great booths here that are at Urbana and all the other ones that are spread out. 20,000 different Americans per month will make inquiry thinking the Lord may be calling them to go on staff with one of these ministries. And so they're sending off for materials, or more than likely they're on the internet looking at all this. And boy, they are excited. They're excited. Maybe the Lord is calling them to go full-time with one of these groups, one of these organizations, and they're reading through the materials, and all of a sudden, they're in the fine print. There's this one little line that they just stop dead in their tracks. And I can't even hardly speak after they see that one little line. And what does that line say? You must raise your own support. And they're just stunned. What do you mean, raise my own support? I thought there was just a magical pot of money that paid everybody's salaries. And you know what, 90%, that's my estimate. I think probably maybe up to 90% of those 20,000 Americans, they will turn and they will quietly walk away. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a tragedy? Some estimate that maybe as little as 1% of those 20,000 Americans will ever make it into long-term service with one of those agencies. Friends, that breaks my heart. I think that breaks the heart of God. Here he is raising up and wooing and calling all these believers, maybe after a conference like this, to really go full-time, just full-out radical for God and do this thing full-time and go to the ends of the earth. But many of the folks who may have felt that call will turn away and walk away, either because they're afraid to raise support or they simply don't know how. Now, gang, I can't help you overcome the fear because I've been on support for 26 years, loving it. But every single appointment I have, there's still fear. I can teach you how to walk towards your fears in the power of the Holy Spirit, but there's still going to be fear. But that second component, how to raise your support, please know. Please know that there are trainings and tools and resources out there that can help you give good, biblical, practical steps to getting to full support. And so that's one of my little hobbies. It's a little hobby I have. And here's the hobby. We want to flood the nations. To flood the nations with healthy, vision-driven, fully funded, Great Commission workers who view support raising as a privilege, not as a burden, not as a necessary evil. Because you know what I realized over these last 26 years? That if I view support raising as a requirement, I'm required to do this, I will never, ever experience all that God wants for me in this exciting adventure of having a team around me. But if I choose to do it, if I say, no, I'm not required to raise my support. No. Don't talk to me about requirements. No, I choose to do it. I embrace it. I want to do this. I love this. I want to have a team. I need to have a team. In fact, I feel sorry. Is this being taped? I guess it is. Let me be very careful. I feel sorry for those workers, especially the ones that are in other countries, away from family and friends. Oh, they may get the golden paycheck, that paycheck every month, and they think that's their sign of security or something. But they don't have a team. They don't have 40, 50, 60 couples, two or three, four churches that are around them that are praying and giving and sharing and communicating. They don't have a team. Think about the loneliness and isolation. I don't want to go anywhere without my team, friends. Anywhere. And so please, I would like to encourage you to think about support raising in a positive way and not a negative way. Well, we want to spend about 20 minutes now going over these five steps if we can, okay? And you know, the place to begin, isn't it always the Bible? And so one of the big questions that some of you have this afternoon probably is this even biblical? Is this like sales or something? The answer is no. The scriptures are chock full of this idea of going to God, certainly, but also going to others to fund your living and ministry expenses. And so let's just look at a few of them. The example of the Levites, if you have your Bible on digital there in your mobile phone, or maybe you have a copy handy, why don't you turn to Numbers 18 very briefly, if you would, okay? Now, this is the first group in the mind of God. Isn't it great to get inside the mind of God? That's what we do when we study the Bible. And these Levites were his first representatives. It's kind of the Old Testament Christian ministers, representatives, full-time workers. And so they were supposed to do this full-time, and they were wondering, how are we supposed to be compensated? So he gave them a whole chapter. Numbers 18 is just a Levitical training manual for the Levites. And one of the big issues he covers is, how are they going to be compensated? Verse 21 gives the answer. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance. Why? In return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. Again, I wish we could spend hours on Old Testament, other Old Testament passages. Nehemiah, you talk about a man who prayed and prepared and then made the ask in chapter 2 of Nehemiah to King Artaxerxes. You talk about David asking God, asking others to give towards the temple, the Hebrews asking the Egyptians. I mean, Elijah required to ask the widow. There's all kinds of great Old Testament. Let's touch on the new if we can. The example of the Levites is one, the example of Jesus. Turn to Luke 8 just for a minute. You know what's amazing to me? The Son of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he could have funded himself any way he chose, couldn't he? He could have put money changers on all the disciples, you know, hips here and cha-ching, cha-ching, throwing money out everywhere. That would have drawn crowds. He didn't do that, friends. The method that he chose here on earth to fund his living, his personal and ministry expenses during those 3 years for he and his men, guess what? It was from the ongoing gifts of individuals. Let's look at it, Luke 8. Soon afterwards, Jesus began going around from city and village, one city and village to another, proclaiming, preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. Some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses were with him also. Mary, who is called Magdalene, whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and listen, here it is, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. This is the only indication we have of how he was funding his expenses, how he was funding his ministry. And yet I know some people, some believers that just feel so, they're just too prideful to live off the support of others. I'm not going to leech off of others. I'm going to support myself. Wow. So Jesus was willing to live like this, the Son of God, but we are not. Wow. Something's wrong with this picture, isn't it? And so the example of Jesus is huge for us, right? How about his teaching? Flip over to Luke chapter 10. In Luke 8, he modeled it to his disciples. In Luke 9, he sent his own 12 out. In Luke 10, he sent the 70 out to live just like he was talking about, off the ongoing support of individuals as they were going to do their ministry city to city. And so here it is, Luke 10, verse 7 is the kicker. Jesus says, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you. In other words, if you find a supporter who will provide room and board for you, stay there. Continue to partner with them as you do your ministry in that city. And then he says, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house, friends. That's an Old Testament and New Testament principle, that the laborer is worthy of his wages. And that is why some of you will choose not to raise support. That'll be why some of you will not get to full support, because you feel like you are unworthy. What if we could view ourselves the way Jesus views us? Wouldn't that be the perfect optimum self-esteem? To simply view ourselves the way Jesus does? Wouldn't that be the perfect balance? And here he says, the laborer is worthy of his wage. And if you're going to jump into the ministry full-time, you're going to work hard for the kingdom, the glory of God, you are worthy to be fully supported. You really are. That's what it says. Let's look at the example of Paul, okay? Acts 18, will you slip over there with me? If there's a man on the planet that has ever been one of the greatest mobilizers of people and resources, the Apostle Paul, I'd like to know who it is. What a man. Well, Acts 18, here he was, verse 4. He was reasoning in the synagogues every Sabbath, trying to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy, when they came down from Macedonia, and another verse tells you that they brought support with them, Paul then began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying that to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. In other words, he was just doing ministry one day a week until the support came in, and boom, then he was doing it full-time every day. His preferred mode of operation was full-time ministry, living off the support of others. I appreciate tent making, friends. But he only did it 3 times in 3 particular cities for a particular reason. Don't say that tent making is the biblical model. No, it was a biblical model that Paul used in three instances. Okay? So I love it, but please don't go after the guilt trip that, gosh, I guess I better be a tent maker because that's the biblical model. No, it is one particular model. Well, the example of Paul, but also the teaching of Paul, and then we'll finish our little biblical section here, if you can believe we've covered the whole Bible in 5 minutes, you know. 1 Corinthians 9, the Corinthians were the most immoral, carnal, you know, they were accusing Paul of all kinds of impure motives about why he was doing his ministry as if he was doing it for a profit. And so he was defending himself, saying, here's why I deserve to be supported by you. And then he gives verse 14, kind of the clincher here. Verse 14, Paul says, so also the Lord commanded those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. I thought it was an option, didn't you? If you go into full-time ministry, you're going to pray about whether you should raise your support. You're going to consider it. It's like one of the options. No? I'm afraid verse 14 says, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should make their living from the gospel, that you should be receiving your support from others. It's not a matter of leading, being led by the Holy Spirit. I think it's a matter of sheer obedience, if that's what the verse says. And so, there's so many other verses we could go over. During a Q&A time, if you want to go over some others, we can. But let's keep going. There's five steps to this. You always want to build a biblical basis. Isn't that where you start with anything, though? And now you're thinking now. Your thinking is not based upon what the world thinks about support raising, what your parents think about support raising, what your uncle or aunt or brother or sister, or what in your own little mind, the MP3 tapes that are playing back there about the evils of raising support. No? If you can start to think the way God thinks, and that forms the basis, and boom, now if any giants appear, and they will appear, they will loom large to stalk you and to get you to give up on this idea of getting the full support quickly and fully funded to get to your assignment. And here are some examples of those giants that might be taunting you, keeping you from really pursuing full support wholeheartedly. Well, it could be that you or your family think support raising is really just begging. How many of you have a family member or a close friend that if you go into ministry and raise your support, you have this funny feeling that they're going to really view you as a beggar? Hello, almost all the hands go up. I was the same boat, friends. Wish I could tell you my story. Well, the one I already mentioned, you think you are not a worthy investment, but Jesus says you are. I hope you'll believe Jesus instead of your own mind, your own thoughts. You think support raising is just a necessary evil to be endured. Like I said earlier, if you think it's simply a necessary evil or a requirement, not only will you probably never get to 100%, but you'll never experience all that God has for you in this beautiful, life-changing, lifelong journey of doing ministry and doing life with a team. Just finished a John Maxwell book called Failing Forward. On page one, a profound thought jumped out. He said, never do anything without a team. You'll never accomplish anything of significance without a team. Please don't be the Lone Ranger. Build a support team that will last for a lifetime. I've been on support for 26 years, friends. Probably 90% of the people that I invited to be on my team in 1986 are still on my team today. If you stick with them, guess what? They're going to stick with you for a lifetime. And so, how about this? You think people are rejecting you or your ministry if they say no. This is probably the biggest one. It's fear of rejection. Fear of rejection. Would you write something down here? Here's what I'd like for you to write down. I will lose a friend. Go ahead and underline the word will, if you would. In support raising, when I raise support, I will lose a friend. There's going to be someone that's going to be offended by you. going to them and asking them to invest in the Great Commission. I know it's hard to believe. And if you've never lost a friend from evangelism, from sharing the gospel, you haven't really shared the gospel. Do you realize that? That's why most people don't share the gospel. They're afraid of being rejected. That's why most people don't raise support. They're afraid of being rejected. So we're going to live our lives based upon fear. Please, attack your fears. That's what a guy gave me a definition of a man last night. He said, I'll tell you what a man is. A man is someone who attacks his fears. Wow, never heard that definition before. That would apply to women too, huh? That's right. Are we going to walk towards our fears in the power of the Holy Spirit? Or are we going to be dominated and controlled and cowered by our fears? And what I realize that if someone can break through the fear and faith barriers and support raising, boom, it has profound effect on their ability to break through the fear and faith barriers in their ministry. It's going to have dramatic effects on how you do your ministry. And instead of on that campus just going towards the safe students that look polite and friendly over here all by themselves, no, you're going to go right into the heart of that campus, mainstream leaders of that campus that are so terrifying. Could have effects on the way you do your ministry. Oh, the giants in your own mind. Now, the third step is to pray and plan well. Nehemiah, boy, you read chapter 1, you talk about a man who bathed this appointment in prayer. You talk a man who prepared his presentation, who knew exactly what he wanted to ask, question 1, question 2. I hope that you don't just launch out in support raising and go, Steve, you don't really know me. I'm sharp. I can just shoot from the hip, you know, and I can do this thing. No, you better prepare very, very well. The first thing is to bathe it in prayer. S.D. Gordon, maybe you know this quote where he says, prayer is the real work of the ministry. Service is just gathering in the results of prayer. This is where the God ask comes in. You're not alone, friends. In that appointment where you go in, it's not you and that supporter. There's a third party involved. It's God Himself. He's there with you. And just like Nehemiah did, just like so many others did in the Scriptures, just like I'm challenging you to do, when you step in that support appointment, before you ever step in, you make the God ask. Before you ever invite that friend to be a ministry partner, see. Well, you want to create your budget. Please create a real budget. Don't do it like so many Christian workers do. They turn to their spouse and they go, I don't know how much money we can raise. $2,000 seems like a lot of money. Okay, let's set it at $2,000. Now they're making their whole budget. They go, well, I don't know. Do you think we can live on $50 a month for food? Yeah, I think we can probably do that. How about gasoline? $25 a month? You think that's enough? Yeah, I think we can do that. Right. No. Here's my challenge. What if you were to go before God and say, Lord, I'm going to create a budget that will maximize the fruitfulness of my family. Because that's what you're responsible for, isn't that true? To maximize the fruitfulness of your family and to maximize the fruitfulness of your ministry. And so you determine, what does it mean to maximize the fruitfulness of your life, your family, your ministry, and you build that and you draw a line, and that is your holy number. That is the number. What I'd like to challenge you to do is to be vision-driven more than budget-driven. You see, we live in a very budget-driven world, don't we? It's all about money. It's all about buying and selling. I'd like to challenge you to raise it a notch, if you would. Look through the eyes of Christ and go beyond buying and selling into giving and receiving. It's a beautiful experience. Well, one thing it means is this. You got to ask the right questions. And here's the wrong question that virtually every Christian worker, every missionary, every support raiser I know, they ask this question all day, every decision they make. This is the grid. It's the most embarrassing, pitiful, little petty question I've ever heard in my life. But their life is dominated by this question. Here it is. How much does it cost? Oh, my Lord. There is a better question than how much does it cost. How about this? What is God's will? What if you were to start making your decisions for your family, for your ministry, for your funding, based upon His will rather than how much does it cost? There's a tremendous power and freedom and destiny in being vision-driven rather than budget-driven. And when you go into your support appointments, if someone thinks that you're the type of person that you're just trying to live off pennies and somehow you're trying to save money and you're going to scrimp and save and that seems to be the totality of your life, you know, rather than reaching the world for Christ, oh, they might give you a charitable contribution, but they're not going to come along and be a ministry partner with you and invest in you. You know why they view you as a beggar? Do you know why people view us as beggars? Because we have trained them to view us as beggars. Because we view ourselves as beggars. So we're going to ask you to move. Move to a vision-driven life rather than a budget-driven life. Wow. That's what we're asking you. Create the right kind of budget. Name storm hundreds and hundreds of names. Please don't play Holy Spirit here. You let the Holy Spirit, you write down every single name of every person you've ever met or known in your entire life, okay? You name storm. There are no bad names. And as you're approaching people, you let the Holy Spirit decide who's going to be on your team and who's not going to be on your team, okay? You'd be amazed. When all the dust clears and there's your team, you'll be amazed as to who is on your team and who isn't on your team. So our job is not as much to persuade them to support us as much as it is simply to discover the ones whom the Holy Spirit has prepared in advance. That's where the God ask comes in. He is in charge. He is superintending the process. Now map out a plan, would you? You have all these names, and you're going to go city to city. You got to travel, friends. I'm sorry. You got to go to them, and you got to ask them face to face. That's why you're going to start scheduling trips to go to them. It costs money to raise money, time and money to do this right. In fact, we've done surveys the last three Urbanas, sent a rep around to all the major mission agencies, and they've asked a question of the different mission agencies. And they've asked this one question. For the staff in your organization that did get to 100%, see, there's a disclaimer right there, right? The ones that did get to, assuming many did not. But the ones that did get to 100%, how long did it take them? What do you think the average has been over these last three Urbanas as we've surveyed these agencies? 18 months? 2 years? 3 years? Yeah, 18 to 23 months is the average that we've come up with over these last three Urbanas. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to spend the next 18 to 23 months of your life raising support? I hope that the answer is a resounding yes. I heard someone say yes. Yeah, I'm just going to spend the rest of my life doing this. Well, in some ways you are. But I'm talking about starting from scratch and raising your entire support. We challenge people to do 100% in 100 days. 100% of your full budget, your annual budget, your monthly budget of what you have to live off of, that you would spend the next 100 days, morning, noon, and night, packing out each day with appointments to get 100%. It took me 42 days. I've known people who have done it much less. Now, whether it takes you 100 days, please don't get off a guilt trip if it takes you 150 days. Maybe it'll take you 200 days. I don't know. But the point is, have a solid beginning point and have a solid end point, and you are going to work morning, noon, and night. Pray morning, noon, and night to get to your ministry assignment as quickly as possible and fully funded. Would you please say with me, quickly and fully funded? Will you say that out loud with me? One, two, three. Quickly and fully funded. If God has called you to this ministry, doesn't He want to get you there? And so we have a policy. You are not even allowed to move to that ministry assignment until you're at least 100%. These are not pledges. These have begun their giving, okay? You're not even allowed to move to their assignment. That's another question we can deal with. Number four, and here's the most important thing. If you miss anything during our hour together, don't miss this. Asking is the key. Asking is the key. It really is. James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. I was reading in 2 John verse 12 yesterday, and John says, I have so much to write to you, but I don't even want to write. I have so much to tell you, but I don't want to even write it to you. So I'm going to come to you and talk with you and share with these things. Do you remember the phrase? Face to face. There's something powerful about approaching someone. The word ask, friends, is a theme throughout the Scriptures, and the Gospels alone 113 times of asking God and asking others. I know it feels un-American that we would ask anybody for anything because we are self-sustaining. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. We don't need anything from anybody. Well, that may be thinking like an American, but it's not thinking biblically. Let's set aside our nationalism for a second and really think like God thinks. And so asking is the key. Don't cut corners. I know some of you right now are saying, Steve, appreciate this face-to-face emphasis, but you really don't understand. I have the gift of preaching, and I can hold the audience in the palm of my hand. I'm going to go church to church, group to group. That's how I'm going to raise my support. Well, I've seen all kinds of studies. About 10% will respond, but I'm going to show you why that's a very shallow 10%. Steve, I'm not going to do the group thing, but boy, I was an English major, and I'm going to send letters and emails and then follow them up with phone calls, and it's going to really be my voice. It's not a recording. Very impressive. Well, supposedly about 25% respond to that, but I'm going to show you again why I think that's a very shallow 25. But friends, if you will go face to face, this is my experience, and the 7,500 people, workers we've trained over the last 12 years from 500 organizations, about half the people they meet with face to face are going to come on their personal support team. Here's the point at the bottom. How you go about raising your support, the method you choose to secure that commitment from that person, it says everything about how much they commit to, how consistent they are in their giving, and the longevity of them being on your team. If you choose one of these lesser routes, Steve, you don't know how busy I am. Boy, I'm busy, Steve. You must have a lot of extra time on your hands. No, I got to cut corners. I got to get this thing done. I know it's going to be sloppy, but somehow my secret is I'm going to put a donate button on my Facebook page. Man, it's going to roll in. No, don't do that. Because if you choose one of these other methods, the amount's going to be smaller, the giving is going to be just sporadic, and after a year or so, guess what, friends? They're gone. They're gone. If you're going to spend a lifetime serving Christ, you better build an unbelievably strong foundation. If you're going to get married and have family, you better build an unbelievable strong foundation. It takes lots of time, lots of effort. Number five is to cultivate the relationship. You see, support raising is not about money. If you think it's about money, you're in trouble already. It's not about budgets. It's not about needs. It's about vision and relationships. Vision and relationships. Betty Barnett has a book, I think it's out there, but it's just simply called Friend Raising. She's just saying, support raising is not about just getting to 100% goal. It's not about just meeting your objectives here, you know. It's about building relationships with your ministry partners, okay? And so I'd like you to consider tithing your ministry time to your support team. Tithing it. About 10% of your time, when all the dust clears, over the course of a month and a year, that you've given 10% to praying for and communicating, appreciating your team, to thank them every time you get a new gift or a new supporter or an increase, to really work on appreciating them, to really do excellent newsletters, to keep them communicating with them, sharing with them about how God is working in you and through you. Give them some stories of changed lives. Changed lives. That's why they're investing in you. Not so you can tell them about little Bobby's football game and little Sally's ballerina lessons. in the newsletter. No, it's changed lives is why they're investing in you. And then the final win, keep, and lift. You've won them to the team. You got to really keep them on the team and keep them giving and appreciated and involved, and then gradually lifting them, asking them to increase as time goes on. That's what I've been doing the last 30 days. I've been going to some of my supporters who have been on my team for 1 or 2 or 3 years, and I haven't yet asked them to increase. And I ask them either on the phone or in person, you've been so faithful to give this amount every month like clockwork. Thank you so much, but I wanted to ask you, would you consider giving me a raise? They start laughing on the phone, or they laugh in person. They go, well, yeah, I'll give you a raise. Of course I will. The only reason I never gave you a raise is because you never asked. Hello. When is it going to get into my little thick head? I have not because I asked not. Well, gang, let's spend a few minutes. Ladies, will you give us some microphones there and give us your toughest questions if you can. No guarantee on the answers, all right? But we've got maybe 15 minutes here that our lovely ladies, sounds like a game show, doesn't it, are going to come down the aisles. I see that hand. If you have a scowl on your face, you get chosen a little earlier than someone else, though, because that means you have a really profound question. Sean.
I started my ministry about 6 months ago, and because I have a rental house and I had some income coming in, I said, well, I can just do support raising after. Well, I've raised $325 in the last 6 months, but I'm still living in my own power to, like, be able to go out and earn money on the side and things like that. So do I just need to take a 100-day break from our ministry and just kind of start from scratch again?
Good question. What I'd like to encourage you to consider, and there's a chapter in this book I'm going to tell you about some resources. One of the books we've written is called Viewpoints. It's in the bookstore. But one of the chapters is, should I do support raising part-time or full-time? And what most people do is they hang on to their jobs. They hang on to their jobs, and they try to do support raising in the evenings and weekends. Well, what happens is that it takes 2 to 3 times longer. And the percentages of people that never make it to full support skyrockets if you're going to try to do it part-time. So what we challenge you to do and give you some examples is pull together around you 4 or 5 or 6 key people who know you, love you, and then you share with them this idea. I'm thinking about leaving my engineering job, leaving my salary so I can raise support full-time because I want to get to this ministry quickly and fully funded, but we need a window of time. Would you be willing to take a step of sacrifice with me? And we're going to push in $2,000, or we're going to push in $4,000 from our savings. Would you also push in $2,000 or $4,000 or $6,000, whatever it takes here to continue to pay the bills, but to buy you this window of time where for 4, 5, 6, 7 months, you're going to be hitting it hard morning, noon, and night to get to full support because this little team of stakeholders pulled around you to buy you that window. That's in the book. Good question. How about over here, ma'am? This one right here? Yes.
Yeah. What's your experience?
Okay. I'm sorry. Oh. Go ahead.
Okay. What's your experience with having supporters or trying to get supporters that are non-Christians?
You know, I don't make distinguish. I do not distinguish between whether a person is a Christian or a non-Christian. I really don't know. Do you know who is and who isn't? We're going to really, really surprise in heaven, aren't we? And so here's my distinguishing. Here's how I divide whether you should or should not approach someone. You ready? Have you ever known them or known of them in your entire life? Why, that's fairly broad, Steve. That's exactly right. Do you know what? You may have to change the way you make your presentation to that non-Christian. You may not be able to say, we're going to do an insider movement, rapid church multiplication in an unengaged, unreached people group in the 1040 window. What? You may have to talk about helping young people morally and spiritually, something right down on the bottom if they're not a Christian, but boy, I would invite them because that would be the only time they'll ever be invited by a Christian to invest in the Great Commission in their entire life, and you will be the only light in their darkness. You're probably going to lead someone to Christ. And so D.L. Moody, he believed in this. One of an evangelist from the late 1800s here in America, he would take funds from non-believers, and he'd say, I take the devil's money, I wash it in the blood, and I spend it on the kingdom. Ooh, I like that. Now, if the guy's getting his money by selling cocaine down on the corner to small kids, you know, don't do that. But I don't think that's going to, you know, happen to any of y'all, okay? Okay, yes, right here, ma'am.
How would you advise, whether it's a young person who's just graduated with debt or an adult, should you be debt-free prior to fundraising?
Great question. I distinguish between consumer debt and school loans. This is my opinion. If you have big credit card debt, friends, I'm not talking about a house mortgage or a car mortgage necessarily, car note, but if you have consumer debt, credit card debt, if I were you, I would not start into support raising. I just, in good conscience, I couldn't do that. I'd get a second job, a third job, a fourth job, whatever I had to do to kill that debt and to never, ever let it raise its ugly head again, to never again pay one penny of credit card interest. I think you owe that maybe, yes, to the Lord, but to your supporters, that you are managing your money in an honoring way. But if you have school loans, I know some people go, well, I feel called to the mission field, but I have this $40,000 of school loans at $380 a month at 4% interest. I think I'm going to go out and work for 5 years to pay it off first. They never get to the mission field. They never get there. Here's what I encourage you to do if you have school loans. Build it into your budget and never look back. Don't let it hold you back one single day. If you're in a support appointment and someone says, well, can I see your budget? That's only happened twice in 26 years to me, by the way. Can I see your budget? Why? Because I focus on the vision, not money. But if they do happen to ask you your budget and they say, well, what is this school loan figure here, this $380? They're not going to crucify you for that. They're going to go, did you put yourself through college? Yes, sir. And now you're being faithful to pay it back? Yes, sir. No, your stock goes up, not down. So I would not let school loans hold you back one single day. It's a personal opinion.
Thank you.
Sure. Of which I sometimes express rather strongly. Oops. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm on InterVarsity staff. My husband and I both are. I've been raising support for my budget and wondering, I'm in a bit of a complicated situation with one-time or special gifts.
Yes.
So how do you ask in such a way to gather sustaining support?
Well, one thing is you really don't want to use that phrase one time. Wouldn't you all agree? if you say to someone, would you give a one-time gift, ethically, what? Ethically, you can never ask them again because it was a one-time gift. So if that's anywhere on your materials, if it's anywhere, just it's a cuss word. Let's just wash our mouth out with soap, okay? There's so many better words than that. How about a first-time gift? How about a launching gift? How about a single gift, a special gift, anything gift, but a one-time gift? Because that first gift, it's the beginning of a beautiful relationship together. And how you respond to that first gift can say everything about whether there's going to be other gifts. Isn't that true? And so we train folks to ask for monthly commitments, that every single appointment you go in, you're just asking for one thing, a monthly commitment. And we even train folks to suggest an amount or suggest a range. And so we bring in a levels of giving chart where it shows them, sir, here or ma'am, here are some of the levels of different people that are investing in our ministry to help us reach these college students for Christ. As you can tell, they're coming on our teams at different levels. And as I thought and prayed about what to ask you to consider investing today, I thought about asking you to take on one of these $100 a month slots or maybe even one of these $150 a month slots. Could one of those work for you? And gang, one of the greatest things you can ever do in personal evangelism, one of the greatest things you can ever do in personal support raising. Guys, when you ask someone to marry you, one of the greatest things you can do after you pop the question is to what? Zip the lip. And let them answer. And so, please let them answer. Give them enough dignity and honor to ask your question. And let them respond. Please. And so, I do have a strategy, Aaron, in monthly, but also end of the year. end-of-the-year giving strategy. Probably 30 to 40% of our personal support comes in a particular month each year. And what is that particular month? December. That's right. So if you want to get a copy of Viewpoints, if you want to get a copy of this book we're going to be telling you about in a minute, that'll tell you about what about the monthly commitments, what about the annual gifts that you're looking for. That gives you lots of helps there. Okay, a couple more, two or three more questions here. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, I'm a college student. I'm in my junior year of college, and I'm trying to figure out what would you recommend I do to raise support?
Are you thinking about going into full-time ministry once you graduate?
I was thinking about doing a short-time mission this coming year and then looking to do a long-term mission.
Okay. When you say short-term, is that?
During the summer. Like
just the summertime?
Yeah.
Okay, great question. Friends, how you raise support during a short-term, for a short-term trip like that versus, you know, a longer-term is really different. You can use your Facebook page and you know, send Lucinda, you know, to Vienna for the summer. You know, to reach people for Christ. And you can use social media, but you can also send out letters and with envelopes. That's traditional. I think in our country, people are used to that. My wife and I probably give 40 gifts each spring with students who simply send a request with an envelope. Would you please give towards our mission trip, our summer training program? So I think you can do it. You don't have to do it all face-to-face. It doesn't have to be. It can be used via internet or mail and phone. But if you're raising support for your longer-term ministry, monthly support, please, face-to-face, face-to-face. Okay, yes, sir.
Hey, Steve. So I just got hired to come on InterVarsity staff, and I just began my fund development process about last weekend. So I'm going to my last semester of my senior year, and I only have pretty much like a month to myself before I finish up school. And I want to finish the fund development process before I graduate. So like balancing both a like a heavy like a senior semester, and wanting to build my support team. What would you recommend on how I dedicate my time?
Let me be diplomatic here. I would probably. You sound like a hard worker. That's a plus. You want to get it done. You want to get it done. Let's do it. That's good. But you also want to be realistic. And so to think you could do it in 1 month or just this spring while you're a full-time student, it might be unrealistic. I don't know when you want to report to your assignment. Would it be next fall when school begins? Could you take this summer to raise your support? Thank you. Well, I'm just saying this spring, if you're in college right now, now's the time where you really want to cultivate your team. Cultivate your team. Get your newsletter started, sharing with them about your life and your ministry and the changed lives. You're prepping them for an ask. Could be you spend all spring with awesome newsletters, with pictures of young men who you've led to Christ and discipled, have been touched. You're prepping them, building your newsletter list. Because on May 1st, boom, you're going to spend the next 90 days, 100 days, packing out all day, every day with appointments. Why? Because you want to get to that campus on August 20th. You see, when you raise your support, it's not about money. It's not about getting 100%. It's about getting those students on August 20th. Your burden is not to get to 100%. No. Your burden is to get to those students so you can reach them for Christ. And they will pick up on that in the appointment. They'll pick up if this is about money or budgets or your needs or a burning zeal to reach students for Christ. They'll pick up on it. Couple more questions, and then we're gonna kind of tie it up here with some resources. Yes, sir.
What would it look like biblically if pastors and leaders and elders in our churches were engaged in a support raising process rather than relying on the salaries provided by our churches in the West, and then we had our budgets in our churches that were able to give more than 2%, maybe perhaps 50-60% to overseas missions if we raised support that way?
That would be exciting, brother. I'm not sure. When the Bible gives all these great passages on giving sacrificially, that they had in their mind that there'd be giant church buildings and church budgets and church staffs, and that they would somehow give a whole 3.5% to missions. I don't think that that was in their minds, but that is another seminar. Okay, you have a question here, sir? Is it a burning question?
Yes.
Okay, burn.
Okay. So, eventually I'm going to get a family, and I'm going to have to look after my family. So what do I do if, I mean, this, I don't know if this is a personal question, but do you keep your ministry finances on a, like a separate account and then your family finances on a different account?
I raise the entire amount, but some of it comes to me for salary and personal family expenses, and some of it stays in the account that I use for ministry expenses that I can reimburse from. But I raise it all. That makes sense? Would our proctors be willing to pass out those little green pamphlets? I want to give you all a tool. At least I want to tell you about a tool. But let's talk about some resources. And friends, I guess we're going to have to be out of here because there's a workshop after this, but I'd be willing to sneak over in a corner or outside if you want to talk some more. But write down some resources, if you would, real quickly. Y'all had some great questions, by the way. These ladies are going to pass out a little pamphlet of a book that's coming out in March that I'm hoping to put in your hands. It is that 18-hour support-raising boot camp that I've been talking about in a book. Hello. Someone says, how long did it take you to write this, Steve? About 25 years. Boy, it takes you a while to write books. Sure does. But Bill Dillon, Scott Morton, this is probably one of my favorites. Scott Morton is really a mentor of mine. He's Vice President of Development for the Navigators Ministry. Pete Summer, that book is in the bookstore. You wrote down supportraisingsolutions.org. Friends, there's a free monthly newsletter you can sign up for. Every month it's free to you. Comes to your box. All kinds of great tips and principles from some of the great support-raising trainers out there, okay? And then this boot camp. I'd be honored. We have one a month in a different city around America. We cap them at 60. You have to prepare at least 24 hours. You can't come unless you've prepared 24 hours of it in advance. You can't pay for it. You have to go to at least two people to ask them face-to-face to support you to go to the seminar. There's a method to our madness, isn't there? You can register if you'd like. This is the book that I've been referring to. I think they're selling it. I don't know how they do it, but for $7 in the bookstore called Viewpoints, it's about a year and a half old, 66 short chapters. I call it good bathroom reading material. I do not know. So just say, ask for Shadrach or Shadrach, the author. They'll point you to Viewpoints, okay? But it's there. And lots of great practical help and tips, all the things we've been talking about today. Now, I think these are in the bookstore too. We've got some other books that we've written for students. How many of you are involved in student ministry in some form or fashion? You're either a student or you're working with students. Okay, please, I'd like to tell you about Explore, how to move a college student from 0 to 1 in their world vision in 6 lessons there. Brown Light Coffee, it's for young, starting believers that are just kind of getting started in their faith. Fuel in the Flame is a little more heavy where, what if you want to start training students how to witness, how to disciple, how to multiply? Those are some tools that I want to tell you about. Now, one of the tools that I want to tell you about, we open that little booklet for a second there, that little pamphlet. This is the newest one, and we're calling it the God Ask. Isn't that a unique name? I mean, it's nowhere on Google, and you know, if you Google it, it's nowhere. So I guess we're going to have to define what we mean by the God Ask. But like I said earlier, when you go into these support appointments, it's not just you, the ministry worker, and that supporter begging them somehow to give to you. It's not horizontal. This is not a horizontal give and take or ask and receive. No, it's vertical support raising. It's vision-driven support raising in a very budget-driven world that you're going to make the God ask, and we're going to show you a fresh biblical approach to personal support raising. Would you get your phones out just for a second? Everybody get your phones out. I want you to go to this website. Either scan it with your QR code or go ahead and type it in, thegodask.com. We're doing okay. We still have about 3 or 4 minutes. And go ahead and open that up, if you would, thegodask.com. I think that'll tell you how many days until that book is coming out. But if you're willing to put your name and email address in there, our staff will send you an email saying this book is available to you, and if you do that, you're going to get a discount on that book. Knowing that you're from Urbana, they'll know you're from Urbana. And so thegodask.com, if you will do that. I would be grateful. Our people back in Fayetteville, Arkansas, at the Center for Mission Mobilization, would be grateful too. Well, gang, I'm going to pray for us in a minute. And but I tell you what, before I do that, get your evaluations out. Will you do that? Get your evaluations out and just take about 1 minute. I think it's just three or four questions, isn't it? Something like that. And what is our little number for our workshop? RG12, not RG3, huh? Okay, RG12. This man on the front knows who RG3 is. Okay, take about a minute to do that, and then I'm going to pray if you don't mind. Be tough on me on that evaluation, all right? You're going to hand those to these ladies on the way out in just a minute. Sure enjoyed being with y'all today. You can imagine 18 hours of this, come to a boot camp, huh? Steve, don't think I'm going to sign up. Okay, take a few more seconds and we'll pray. Okay, will you bow with me just for a moment, and we're going to turn you all loose. And again, if you have thoughts or questions or want to talk about the Center for Mission Mobilization or something else, I'll try to stick around for a bit here. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to stop for a moment. We've had 60 full minutes together, whizzing through, just streaming through the Bible, these concepts, these principles. Lord, I pray that you would create an impression, just an impression, a taste, in each man and woman in this room as they walk out, that they would say, it is biblical, it is possible, it is reachable, it's something that I can embrace, that I can give myself to, it's something that will change me and change my life and my ministry, that it's a good thing, it's a biblical thing, it's a right thing, it's not just simply a necessary evil. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you, to make the God ask that this is all about you, God, vertical support raising, not just horizontal, that you are the one that is superintending this entire process. You are the one that provides, but you want to use our hard work, our planning, our praying, our asking. Help us to do our part, God. We know you'll do your part. And so I pray you would fully fund these individuals. You'd place them in ministries of great impact, but you'd fully fund them to get them there. Please, God, go before them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all so, so much. Great to be with you. Thank you. Thanks, Lucinda.